So I greet the church this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn our Bibles in the book of Psalm 27. We're going to read the whole chapter of Psalm 27, but our preaching will be focused only on verse 4, Psalm 27. It is the Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Let's close our eyes and pray. We thank you, O Lord, even this morning as we are gathered in your house to hear from you. You speaking, O Lord, in this place of Olivet, this place that is full of the blood of people, this place, O Lord, where people are living in fear. But, O Lord, we know that your word is able to change all that. That your word, O Lord, is able to penetrate even the most evil of hearts. Is able to pierce, O Lord, between the soul and spirit, O Lord, to pierce in the division of the marrow, O Lord, and to reveal the intentions of the heart. And we pray, O Lord, that even this morning you may use your word into the hearts of your people, O Lord, to encourage them, to revive them, that they may seek you indeed, O Lord, that they may hear from you, that they may leave this place, O Lord, having a much greater desire of you, that you may be with those, O Lord, amongst us who are sick, our sister Mia Karabo, that you may heal her teeth, O Lord, that they are troubling her, that you may be gracious, that you may be merciful even unto her. So we give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, brethren, as we look in this book of Psalm 27, we are going to focus mainly on verse 4, which says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So here, brethren, we see David, who was a man who saw so mighty works, so many mighty works of the Lord. This man who had seen the favor of the Lord upon his life, and he had a good testimony to say of the Lord. This was a man who, as a young shepherd, the Lord had given him strength to kill a bear with his own hands. The Lord had given him strength to kill a lion with his own hands. So this was a man who was a mighty warrior. A man, even though he was young, he killed Goliath. A man that the whole nation of Israel was afraid of. The man in whom even the chief of the Israel military was afraid to fight. But this was a man whom God had used to kill this man who was blaspheming the name of the Lord, and to redeem his people of Israel from his clashes. And this man, David, was a man that God had chosen to be a king over his people Israel. The man that God had chosen him amongst his brothers. Even when he was anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Samuel of Israel, he found himself needing deliverance of God over and over again. Firstly, he needed the deliverance of God from King Saul, who sought to kill him. And later on, even when he was king, he found himself needing the deliverance of the Lord from his own son, Absalom, who also sought to kill him. So from time to time, this man, although he was a mighty warrior, he continued to need the deliverance of God. And there's one occasion when he was old, he went to war with his nation of Israel, and there was a man who targeted him, who wanted to kill him. And the Bible says that David was tired. He could not fight anymore. And this man nearly killed him. But the Lord had delivered him. The Lord had carried him through even to his old age. So when David says in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" This was a man who knew exactly what he was talking about. When he says, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" He knows that indeed the Lord has shielded and guided him against his enemies time and time again. When he says, "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall," he knows that the Lord had delivered him from Goliath. The Lord had delivered him from many men who sought to kill him. He knows that the Lord indeed is the one who has carried him through. Now, David was a man who always needed the deliverance of God against his enemies. So much so that his prayer in verse 12, he says, "Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and they breathe out violence." So he was a man who knew how it was to be forsaken by the world. "His own people of Judah and Israel had forsaken me, him, and followed after his son Absalom." So he says in verse 10, "For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." If the Lord was with him, he knew that he had everything. He realized that he could have all the things in this world, but if he doesn't have the Lord, then all those things will be in vain. He trusted in the fatherly love of God, and he had confidence in God even in the times of trouble. So the Lord had given this man such great blessings. David had seen the hand of the Lord upon his life more than anybody in his time could ever say that he has seen the hand of the Lord. And his life was such that many people could wish that the Lord will bless them the way that the Lord had blessed David. And David may have appeared as a man who did not need anything. He may have appeared as a man who had everything. But we see here in verse 4, that there is one thing that he desired above all things. That there was one thing that David desired to have. That David was troubled by this one thing. And there was this thing that he sought with all his mind. That he sought with all his heart. This thing that he knew that it exceeded all his military accomplishment that he had had. That this was something that he was willing to have if there was this thing that he could choose from the Lord. If the Lord was to say to him, choose one thing, and this thing will be the one that he will choose. And we see here that he did not choose long life. He did not choose to have a greater kingdom that he had. He did not choose fame. He did not choose to have rest from his enemies. He did not choose riches. He did not choose to be loved and to be adored by his people. And having listed all the things that the Lord had done for him, how the Lord had delivered him from his enemies, how he is able to trust in the Lord. And in the midst of all these blessings, then he says something that exceeds all these blessings. He recognizes that even though he had been blessed so much, but one thing exceeds all these blessings that he has had from God. And he says, one thing have I asked of the Lord. In verse 4 he says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. He's saying, God, you may have given me many things, and some of them I have never asked you for them, but there is one thing that I ask of you, O Lord. And then David impresses just how bad he wants this thing. He emphasizes just how important is this thing that he desires from the Lord is. And he says, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. Not only is David asking the Lord of this thing, but receiving it is his lifelong ambition. He's not only asking for it, but he will not rest until he receives it. David is making it clear that his soul will not be at rest until the Lord gives him this desire of his heart. David is prepared to pursue this thing until he receives it, no matter what it will cost him. This is his heart's desire. And he's pleading to God to give it to him, to God to give him this one thing that he has asked of God, this one thing that he desires of him, that he will seek after him. It is as if he's saying to the Lord, Lord, you may have given me many things, and I thank you for them, but give me this one thing which I am asking you for. And you can sense this desperation in the heart of David, that he was desperate to have the Lord give him this desire of his heart. He may have many things that he had wanted, but there is this one thing that he will seek after. Other things he may have wanted, but there was this thing that he will dedicate his life, that he will go full force to ensure that he get it. If he will have this one thing, then his heart will rejoice. He's prepared to only live with this one thing and nothing else on this world. He's prepared to trade everything that he has in this world if only he can have this one thing that his heart desires above all things. Now you may ask yourself, what is it that you desire in this world? What is the one thing which you will seek after? One thing that even when you are sleeping, you think about. You say, Lord, give me this one thing. Because as people, there is always one thing that we desire more than any other thing. We may have a lot of things that we want in this life, but there is always one thing that dominates all the things that we want from God. Is it money? Perhaps it is riches. Perhaps it is good health. And many people desire to live well, to have a good life, to have good health, and they will do everything in their power to have this good health. We saw many last year going to Nigeria because they wanted this good health. Because it was one thing that they desired more than any other thing. And many people want riches. They will play lotto twice every week because they want to have millions of rands in their banks. And many of our young people, they want fame. They enter competitions where they could get fame because fame is all that they desired. And as Christians, as a Christian as well, there is one thing that dominates our prayers. Even your prayers, there is one thing that always appears in your prayers each and every day. You may be asking from the Lord a lot of things, but you know that there is one thing that will never finish your prayers without asking the Lord for it. That thing which you are asking the Lord for it, and you are prepared to get it no matter what. Now compare this one thing that you desire to the one thing that David desired. How does your one thing that you seek after compare to the one thing that David is seeking after? Would you be willing to tell the world, to tell everyone that this is what I am seeking? If people knew that you were a Christian, would you go and tell them confidently that this is the one thing that I desire? And this is the one thing that I will seek, and I will give my life until I get. But let's see, what is it that David asked of the Lord? What is it that David sought with all his mind? He says in verse 4, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." This is what dominated David's prayers. This is what David was prepared to have, even if it meant losing everything that he had. This is what grieved David's soul, the fact that he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. This was a man who hated to be away from the house of the Lord. Everything else that he had was done out of a sense of duty, but being in the house of the Lord was his passion. This is what he desired. David wanted to be where God dwelt. He wanted to be in the presence of the Lord every day of his life. And this desire consumed him, and it consumed his very life. Every day, this is what he wanted. He cried out to the Lord when he woke up in his prayers, "Lord, may I dwell in your house all the days of my life." When he was saving the people as a judge, his heart will long that he may be in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. When he was in battle and the Lord had given him victory, he will think of the house of the Lord. He will cry out that I may be in the house of the Lord all the day of my life. And this man, he was a man who so desired the house of the Lord. He says in Psalm 69 verse 9, "For zeal for your house has consumed me." He says his life was consumed by the desire to be always in the house of the Lord. That whatever was happening in the house of the Lord was what was his passion, was what was consuming him. And he desired that he could be in the house of the Lord each and every second that he lived. He wanted to be known not as a mighty warrior, not as a great king, but as a man who dwelt in the house of the Lord, as a man who forever wanted to be in the house of the Lord. And then he says, "I have zeal for the house of the Lord." And this zeal for the house of the Lord consumes me. My desire every day is to be in the house of the Lord. And to show how much he desired to be in the house of the Lord, he asked himself a prophetical question in Psalm 15 verse 1. He asks, he says, "Lord, who may dwell in your house, who shall dwell on your holy hill. He's asking this question because he was consumed by desiring to be in the house of the Lord. He wanted to make sure that he was always suitable for him to be able to be in the house of the Lord. That there was no sin that could keep him from being in the house of the Lord. His heart longed to be in the place of the Lord all day long, that he may sit before the presence of the Lord. He realized that even though the things of this world may keep him away from the house of the Lord for a time, but his heart was always longing to come into the house of the Lord. And then he says in Psalm 23, when he's rejoicing over the promises of God, in verse 6, he says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He rejoices because his desire to be in the house of the Lord will be granted by the Lord. He will not only dwell in the house of the Lord only on this life, but he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever. He realizes that even though in this world he might not be able to be in the house of the Lord as much as he wanted, but the time is coming when all he will ever do is to be in the house of the Lord. Now then, you may ask yourself a question. Is the house of the Lord all that you desire? Or do you have to be pushed to come into the house of the Lord? Does somebody have to plead with you? Let's go into the house of the Lord. Or is it something that you long to do? Is it something that you long for each and every day when you are not in the house of the Lord? Does your heart long that we could be in this place all day long, that we may sit in the presence of the Lord forever? When you pray, do you cry out to God and say, oh Lord, give me a desire to be in your presence forever? Do you cry out like David, that, oh Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that you may give me that desire to only desire your house and nothing else? And David desired the presence of the Lord all the days of his life, and he desired this presence even forevermore. Now, just to give you an idea of what David is referring to when he refers to the house of the Lord. In these days, when they will talk about the house of the Lord, they will talk about the tents which they had designed and planted so that the Ark of the Covenant might dwell. And this Ark of the Covenant carried in it the law of God. And this Ark was a picture of the glory of God. It was a picture of the throne of God in heaven, because God had given them specifications. He had told them how they should do it, so that it can be a picture of the God who dwells in heaven. And this ark, it was the holiest thing on earth. And just as the Lord was in front in heaven between the cherubim, the two cherubim singing, holy, 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 all the day long. And this ark was designed to have the cherubim surrounding it, so that it can sit in the middle of this cherubim. You will remember when Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord. He saw the cherubim between the Lord and the Lord sitting between them. And this Ark of the Covenant was this picture that we see in heaven. Now this Ark, it was a display of the glory of God. And God was revealing himself to his people of Israel through this ark. So when David says that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, he's basically saying that he may see this glory of God all the days of my life. That I may not live outside of this glory of God. That my eyes may always look upon the glory of God. So when he says that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, is basically saying that I should see this glory of God forever and ever. And all that my eyes will see will be this glorious God. This glory of God as He reveals Himself. But I want us to see why does David want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Why does David want to behold the glory of God? Why does he rejoice that indeed one day he shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever? And we see our answer in our text in verse 4. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord." So, brethren, it is clear that whenever David went to the house of the Lord and saw this glory of God displayed on that Ark of Covenant, that he wanted to see the beauty of the Lord. And this revelation of God to him was the most beautiful thing in the world, and he could not get enough of it. All he saw whenever he was before this Ark was the beauty of the Lord. And he longed to sit before this Ark, to sit in the presence of the Lord, so that he may behold the beauty of the Lord. And the Lord has revealed himself. So he says, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And David's desire to be in the house of the Lord was not to fulfill some law. It was not for people to see him, that indeed he was one of those who was there. It was not just to put up a show, but it was to see the beauty of the Lord. It was to see God in his glory. It was to see this majesty of God. And he will go to the house of the Lord when no one was there. And he will go and sit by himself, and he will behold this beauty of the Lord. David would give up everything that he had to sit next to that ark, in that place where the ark dwelt, that he may see the beauty of the Lord, that he may rejoice upon the beauty of the Lord, that his heart may look upon the Lord and rejoice. And the things of this world were not coming close to the beauty of the Lord. Yes, the things of this world, they may have been beautiful, but they were paling in comparison to the beauty that the Lord had revealed to him. And so he desired to see this beauty of the Lord all the day long. So he says, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And we see in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7, in verse 18 to 29, maybe let's turn there quickly, 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we see there that David had brought the ark of the Lord into his city. And we see that in verse 18 it says, "Then David went in and sat before the Lord and said, 'Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far?'" So we see that this was the man who rejoiced to just go into the house of the Lord and sit there and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to have a conversation with the Lord, and to glory in this glorious revelation of God. And having said before this house of the Lord, he will gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And we see in verse 22, he now proclaims having seen this beauty of the Lord. He says, "You are great, O Lord, for there is none like you, and there is no God beside you according to all that we have heard with our eyes." So brethren, a man or a woman who has a desire for the Lord does not go into his house rushing because he has some place to go, but he wants to sit before the presence of the Lord. He wants to sit there and look at the beauty of the Lord and ask the Lord that, Lord, may you reveal more and more of you, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to rejoice in him. So this David was a man who wanted to be before the presence of the Lord as much as he could. So David went in and sat before the Lord. He didn't come to the Lord with a long list of prayers. He will just come and sit before him. He will just come and want to gaze upon his beauty. And this desire that David had is the same desire that we see in the servant of God Moses. That this man Moses, although he had seen the Lord work so mightily in his life, although he had seen so many miraculous signs that the Lord had done with him, but this was a man who was not satisfied. This was a man who still desired God as if he had not seen anything from God. Imagine that this was a man who saw God open a path in the middle of a sea, and people would walk as in dry land. The man who had seen the Lord kill the firstborns of Egypt. The man who had seen the Lord do miraculous works that the world has not seen since. But in Exodus chapter 33, he asked the Lord, and he has this one thing that he asks of the Lord, that he seeks from the Lord. And he says, now show me your glory. Now Moses was like David, was not satisfied with the little that he was seeing. He was not satisfied with the wondrous works that the Lord had done. His heart always desired to see the face of the Lord, always desired that he may have more of God, that he may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And Moses said, show me your glory. And the Lord responded to Moses, I will make my presence pass before you. You will see my back, but my face must not be seen. And these things happened 400 years before David. And you will think that David will be modest. He will be like everybody else. But we see him here in our text in Psalm 27. In verse 8 to 9, he says, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. This was a man who desired the face of God. Why did he desire the face of God? Because he wanted to see the beauty of the Lord. His heart had the same desire that Moses had, for the glory of God to be revealed to him, that he may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, that he may desire to always be in the house of the Lord. Do you then see the desire that David had for God's glory? He wanted to see all the beauty of the Lord and to gaze upon him. He had a cry each and every day of his life for the Lord to show him his face, that he might have the full revelation of the glory of God. He was not satisfied just to see the little he was seeing. Instead, he wanted all of God, and he was determined to get all of him. He was not trying to make a show so people might be impressed with him. It was his life's desire to see the glory of God and to gaze upon his beauty. So he cries out then in verse 9, hide not your face from me. Your face, O Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face. How then would I see your beauty if you hide your face for me? So brethren, our life's desire should be to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Our life's desire should be to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. We should long that the Lord will reveal His glory to us, that we may marvel at His beauty. It should be our prayer that the Lord may not be hidden from us, that His face may not be hidden from us, that we should not lose sight of His beauty. Because when we do not know the beauty of the Lord, then we will look at the things of this world and they will look beautiful to us. The things of this world will look comparable to the beauty of the Lord. And perhaps that is why we drag our feet when we have to come to the house of the Lord. Because our eyes are blinded to the beauty of God. We do not see God as beautiful. We see the things of the world be more beautiful than Him who is our Savior. Now ask yourself then, do you seek the face of the Lord? Does your heart become overwhelmed when you read this prayer of David, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord? Is David's prayer, when he cries out to God, "Your face, Lord, do I seek?" Is that prayer having an impact in your life? Does it make you to adopt it so that it can be your prayer as well? Do you become saddened when the Lord does not reveal His face to you? Do you cry out like David cried out, "Hide not your face from me, O Lord"? Does this cause you to bow down on your knees and cry out to God, "Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show your face to me, your servant, that I may see your beauty"? The same Moses who also desired God today, the way that David did. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, "If you will seek the Lord your God, you will find Him. If you search after Him with all your heart and with all your soul, you will find the Lord." But here's the challenge for us, that we need to seek Him, that we first need to have a desire in our heart for the glory of God, for the beauty of the Lord, and not just have this desire, but to seek after it. And when we seek it, then we will find it, because the Lord will reveal Himself to us. So, brethren, it is my prayer then that the Lord should give us this desire for His face, that we may really indeed gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Because to lose sight of the beauty of the Lord is to lose sight of our purpose in life as Christians. God did not save us that we may go to heaven immediately, but He saved us that we might enjoy Him. He saved us that we may see His beauty and delight in it, that our hearts may be consumed with the glory of God. So our prayers every day, brethren, should be, "Lord, show us your glory. Should be, hide not your face from us, O Lord." Our prayer every day should be, "Lord, we want to gaze upon the beauty of your face." Do you see God as a beautiful one? Do you see Him as one who's more beautiful than all the things of this world? Because if you do not see Him in that way, the things of this world will consume your heart. You will not have a desire to come into His house. You will not have a desire to be in His presence all day long. So cry out to Him then, that, "Oh Lord, help me that I may dwell in your house forever. Help me that I may dwell in your house all the days of my life, that I may gaze upon your beauty, that you may not hide your face from me." In closing, brethren, this beautiful Lord that David longed for, He has revealed Himself through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus came into this world, it was to reveal God to us. as his people. It was for us to look upon him and see him beautiful and to rejoice upon him. So then gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, who became a baby in the womb of a woman he created. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, who was mocked and hated by the world he created. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, who was made sin, so that we might be the righteousness of God. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, who took our sins upon himself. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, who was separated from his Father, so that we may be reunited with the same Father. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, who was buried to have part with the dead, so that we may have life. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, who is risen, defeating sin and death, that we may live forever. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, who is forever praying for us, so that we may seek his face and gaze upon his beauty. And this beautiful one, brethren, is Jesus Christ. He is the one who is beautiful above all. May we pray then to God that he may open our eyes, that we may see that indeed he is beautiful. That he may open our eyes, that we may seek to see his beauty each and every day of our lives. May the Lord bless us. Let's close our eyes and pray. We cry out to you, O Lord. We pray to you, who deserves to be sought. To you, O Lord, who deserve that our hearts may seek you each and every day of our lives. Lord, give us a desire for you. Give us a desire in our hearts, O Lord, to seek you each and every day of our lives. For our eyes, O Lord, not to be blinded from you. That our eyes, O Lord, not to be blinded to your beauty, O Lord. That you may blind us to the things of this world, but that you may shine our eyes to your beauty, that you may forever be the ones that we desire. Help us, O Lord, as your people. Reveal yourself to us. We pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.